Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Attended the PTSC meeting last night. It was that was a very good meeting, very informative. We actually spent a lot of time there. And Mike did a very good job breaking everything down. It was well attended by the executive committee. So I just thought it went very well. And I know there's a couple more, and I plan on attending those as well. So that's all.
No updates for me. No updates.
Okay. I was also at the meeting yesterday. Some quick updates at Armor. The shoe drive is still on. The toy drive deadline is tomorrow. They're collecting toys for Roswell Park's pediatric unit. And their meeting at Armor is tomorrow at 6. Charlotte, their meeting tomorrow is at 7 in the cafeteria, and they are working on their $1,000 graduating senior scholarship, and their learning fair is coming up. At Union Pleasant Family Bingo tonight is May 17th, that's a Friday, and it's from 6 to 7:30, so that should be a good time. It sounds like a lot of fun. They did mini grants, and they approved $2,800 in grants, and that is from our teachers that applied for their classrooms. That's great. And they are working on their moving up day. Boston Valley, their meeting is tomorrow again in the LLC at 6:30. Middle school, May 3rd is the middle school dance. They need volunteers. It's from 6:30 to 8. That's on May 3rd. So if anybody from the middle school can be a chaperone or just help with refreshments or anything, it's much needed. I come for was telling us yesterday that last time they didn't have enough of your kind of spread kind of thing. And they're even this year including self-contained classes. So they're figuring out a way that they can include all students. So I think that, you know, that's a just a wonderful idea. At the high school they're working on their scholarships. And you know they're in prom mode, end of year mode. They're working on post-prom. You can donate on Member Hall and the PTA to post-prom. And their next meeting is May 9th at Pelican House. We also have a part of the PTA, which is Special Education PTA. And they're planning an event. And we have more information later, but advocacy for special education students. And there's more information coming. Their next meeting is May 29th. That's in the middle school. Cafeteria at 6:30, and he'll do the special education. And there's plenty of blankets left on the PTA website, so we have like 70 blankets left, right? And so you go out there, join the PTA, and you can also donate to post-prom, and you can also buy a blanket. So, you know, hopefully, you know, if you're not doing nothing tonight, go and spend some bucks on the PTA website. Oh, and then the Parent-Child Connection, the Special Education Process 101, that is Wednesday, April 24th, so next week, 6:30, and that's at Union Pleasant in the Access Room. So that's, you know, anybody who wants to learn about special education or has a child with an IEP, this would be a great meeting to attend. And there's more information, you know, on our website and on the PTA website.
I usually, you know, hear the board reports from Jamie for the PTSA, he's the board member that's on that committee and shares with us everything. So for me last night to go and hear the dialogue and the questioning and the conversation that was just had in that room with leaders of the PTSA from all the districts was really nice. And I have to say I'm especially grateful. I don't know why I'm like all emotional today. I think it's the pride zone. That is as somebody who's a parent of a special needs child who is struggling a little bit after graduation and looking for a group to connect with, I felt very welcomed that I could come back into that group and be able to see the speakers that they're having coming in and be able to have questions and be able to feel supported as I would want all other parents to do as they navigate a special needs child graduating. That's, you know, can be a difficult time. Now if you'll just humor me, I would like to share, because I know you won't, that the Western New York Educational Service Council is honoring the Erie Niagara Superintendent Association, and in turn they have honored Mike Cornell for the Friend of Council Award, I believe it's called. And it's in recognition of advocacy by someone who's been diligent in their efforts in public education. And I know that, you know, most of you don't know him in the same way that all of us do. I would venture to say we've probably spent thousands of hours with you. And I know for myself, and I'm sure my colleagues, one of the things that we wanted when we had a new superintendent come on after going through, I don't know, a few years, was someone that was going to be out and about in the buildings, was someone that our students were going to know. And anytime I've ever been with you and we've been around kids, I'm always amazed and grateful for the fact that they know who you are. When I was in school, I didn't know who my superintendent was. When I think about the Saturdays and the Sundays and the blood, sweat, and tears that went into navigating us through COVID, and then, you know, 3 years ago when we were desperately trying to give teachers the support that they needed when we had a crew that wasn't real happy with us, I was thankful for your leadership then, as I'm sure that everyone at this table is. And I just wanted to share that publicly, that we are grateful to have you as a leader, and we are thrilled and excited for you to get this award. I don't know how many of you are going to be there. I know I'm going to be there. I'm sure there'll be many others that are there and happy that you've been recognized for the advocacy you've done in Albany and for our surrounding districts and for especially us at Hanford. So thank you.
Thanks for that. Yeah, Wednesday night should be fun, but some of you guys are coming. So I was over at the GLIS convention this afternoon, and I got a chance to meet some of the folks who were there. Had a chance to sit in just one of the workshops, and it was a workshop for club advisors. And it was really well facilitated, and it was great for me to sit and listen to, you know, all the great things that club advisors do. I mean, obviously we have wonderful ones in Hamburg, but there are from all across the South Towns. We hosted the South Towns Convention, the North Towns Convention, I think it's at Wills North. So hearing the advisors from across the southern part of Western New York talk about their experiences in supporting LGBTQ+ kids in school, and really making sure that they have a significant measure of joy, value, and connection in an environment that can be really exclusionary for kids in that circumstance. You know, school can be a very, very difficult place. So to be able to sit and pay attention to what our club advisors were saying about the ways they make school a much softer environment for them and a much more welcoming environment for them, they can thoroughly belong. It was really wonderful to hear. Lots of shout outs from Village Engage, actually, two or three of them, from people who were from the South Towns and participated in some of your stuff, so a couple of shout outs there. And also custodial staff, actually. I talked to a lady who was running the show there, and the first thing she said is, "Oh my God, Nick, we love your custodial staff. This is the best place we've been to do this stuff because your custodial staff has been so amazing." So. It's really nice to see. I love to come here, but it was just a 400 kids, I don't know, 25 different workshops for them, so it was a wonderful time. Another thing that I want to share, I'm going to read all of this, I have a proclamation from the Erie County Legislature that was signed by our legislator, John Gilmore, in remembrance of Danny Reed. So I talked to John today, told him I was going to read it. Whereas Almighty God in his infinite wisdom on March 16, 2024, removed from our midst the elder ravine, in whose death we have lost a loving son, brother, grandson, guardian, respected citizen, in whose family has lost a leader, kind and devoted member. Whereas Danny Bean, son of David and Karen Bean, was born on April 5th, 2022. Whereas Danny was well educated in the Hamburg school system as a graduate of the Hamburg High School class of 2020. Whereas this young man possessed a strong work ethic as a very proud assistant coach in the Hamburg Central School's modified football team. Whereas as an individual, Danny was a devoted and dedicated individual who would go above and beyond to provide leadership and guidance throughout the Hamburg Central School District. And whereas, as a young man who blessed this earth for 21 fruitful years, Danny cherished and valued his family and countless friendships he made throughout high school and throughout our community. And whereas, Danny was a special representative of the good that we all need every day in our lives. And whereas his love blessed the hearts of many, his parents, Cambridge Central School District, and many others with his respect, infectious personality, and lovable sense of humor, and he never hesitated to let people know that he loved them, which left those feeling an immeasurable warmth in their soul. And whereas Daniel's life and legacy will continue to prosper on earth with his loving parents, David and Karen, his siblings, Natalie and David, and his nephew, Matthew, his nieces, Vivian and Valerie, his grandparents, James and Eleanor Nowakowski, and a host of dear cousins and dear friends. Whereas it is the sense of this legislative body to honor and pay tribute to the life of Danny Levine, whose lifelong dedication to God, family, and community are an inspiration to be admired and emulated. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Erie County Legislature does hereby remember the life of Danny Levine and pause in its deliberations to recognize his praiseworthy life, his love for his family, his love for coaching, his love for creating happiness for others, his commitment to and devotion to the betterment of our community, and be it further resolved that the Erie County Legislature expresses its sympathy and condolences to the immediate family, to Daniel's many friends, knowing full well that he has received his eternal and glorified reward in heaven, having heard the consoling words of his master, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Signed, John Gilmore, Erie County Legislature, 9th District.
Everybody. I know I couldn't look at Jeff, but that's right.
And then just a last note, the state budget is we don't have a state budget yet. We don't have budget numbers yet. So once we have the budget numbers from the state, and we will go about the business of doing what we need to do at this table to adopt the budget. We have until April 23rd to do that. So we're going to wait and see what the numbers look like. As they say in Albany, nothing is done until everything is done. So it makes a lot of sense to wait. And that's why there's no action on the budget tonight. Thanks. That's all I have.
Yes. Is the worst case scenario that they don't give us a budget by the 23rd? And if so, what would you recommend our course of action and assumptions be?
I think at that point you go with what you know. And you know, if what we know is if what we know is the governor's proposal, then we pass a budget based on what we know. But we're hopeful that the actual numbers. I mean, what we hear is we'll have runs by Friday, and we'll be able to pass the budget by the time we get to the 25th. So, the information I feel like is reliable, so we're going to rely on
it. Just we add to some of the business items for tonight. First off, we have our consent items. At this time, any board member can make a request to withdraw a specific item from the consent agenda for individual consideration. Is there such a request at this time? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve all consent items D2 through D4?
So moved.
Second by Cam. Second by Laura. Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. And the action items, action item E1, approval of change orders. Can I have a motion to approve the change orders 101-12, 101-11, 101-10, 101-09, 101-13, and AD 101-1 for the capital project phase one work?
So moved.
Moved by Cam.
Second.
Second by Rich. Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. And E2, can I have a motion upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Hamburg Central School District Board of Education adopts the Erie One BOCES administrative budget for the 24-25 year in the amount of $4,008,100.
So moved.
Moved by Dave. Second by Laura. Any questions, comments?
So, relatively modest change for them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Over here, it's...
Yeah, no, they haven't effectively used it.
Yeah, I think the last time they disrupted us was that capital, that capital project,
which is coming up.
Yeah, folks, this year.
Yes.
So are they, do they have something backfilling it?
Not really. Are they planning something? Do they have something that they're planning?
From what I heard is that they're going to
general contracting work associated with the budget. So it's classroom work. These bids came in great, like $1 million under the estimate, which obviously helps with the overall capital project budget. So and Concept is an excellent contractor. The guys have worked with in the past, so we've got a good partner at a great price.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. recommendation to the superintendent, contract with John W. Danforth Company via Gordy Cooperative Purchasing Contract for the 2021 Capital Project Phase 2, contract DP202, holding work in the base bid amount of $383,457, for a total contract award of $383,457.
So moved.
So moved by David. Second by Logan. Questions, comments?
So there's no change orders then?
Well, if there's change orders, minimal change orders. I can't say there won't be any. But what we do know is that when there are, we're going to have a lot of transparency, because every single item that they install and every bit of work is spelled out exactly in the pricing guide, exactly how much it's going to cost. So, you know, but we should experience fewer change orders also, because they've been through that work, you know, hand in glove with our team, and they know the scope. They've crawled in all the spaces that they need to crawl in to know the scope. So we feel really comfortable with that. The other thing that I think is worth noting is the same for the next three, number 6, 7, and 8, is, we got good bid prices for the general contracting work because we have multiple bidders. In the case of the mechanical, the plumbing, and the electrical, there's just not people bidding on this work generally in Western New York or otherwise occupied already. So I think the guys have done a really good job of recommending, a combination of public bid and then competitively bid through the Gordian process to make sure that we're getting the best possible pricing on what is a really large project. And we also know that there are projects that have stalled out completely, one in Orchard Park and one in Waynesville, because the bid did not come in the way they had hoped, and they just have stopped important work. And this is not work we can stop and boil at the high school, and it's been there for 7 or 4 years. So, grateful to our team for providing us with a really good recommendation that helps us, combine strategies to get really good pricing on a project that is critically important, should have been 25 years ago, and it wasn't. So, in a tough environment, we got to do a good spot. So, again,
And how did these, we can consider all three of these things together. How do they compare to our original cost estimates? How do the bids compare?
Pre-referenda, or what we think it should cost now, based on the current?
Now that you pose it that way, both.
Everything is more than the pre-referendum price.
I know, but we've heard numbers, right, 1.5 times and things like that. I'm curious how it actually is manifested in real bids.
I don't know the exact number. Jim?
I guess I couldn't necessarily tell you based off the pre-referendum dollar amount, because we did kind of change some of the scope a little bit from that point. I would say from our estimate in today's dollar amount, we are within 4% of the construction cost specifically.
With the scope as you understood it before the bidding process? Or with the scope as you understood it in 21?
The construction costs that we were estimating before we went out to bid, our team, we are within 4% of that dollar value.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying.
Sure. And just make sure that I understand correctly, part of this Guardian program gives us the cost certainty in the labor and materials, and most of that we're pretty much set with what that price is right now, what those costs are now, as opposed to here's what the bid is, we're going to get a change order because that material found out went up another 5% since then, correct?
Correct.
So it gives us that cost certainty in materials and labor. And change orders are going to be much more along the lines of what you get behind the wall and you found out that there's something there that nobody planned on and requires additional work. That's what the change orders are going to come from.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, man. Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes. Item E. 1957. Can I have a motion to approve on the recommendation of the superintendent the contract with John W. Danforth Company via the Gordian Cooperative Purchasing Contract for the 2021 Capital Project Phase 2, contract BP203, HVAC work, including controls work, in the base bid amount of $14,775,256, for a total contract award of $14,775,256.
I'll move.
So moved by Cam.
Second.
Second by Rich. Questions or comments? These next three are all easy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Item E8, can I have a motion to approve on recommendation of the superintendent the contract with the Industrial Power and Lighting Corporation via the Gordian Cooperative Purchasing Contract for the 2021 Capital Project Phase 2, contract BP204, electrical work in the base bid amount of $2,568,700 for a total contract award of $2,568,700.
I'll move.
Moved by Cam. My Laura. Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Takes us through our business items. Moving on to public expression. As a reminder, I was here last week, but just to remind everyone, some topics are not permitted to be discussed in the public forum. For example, any topic related to an employee, or that can be implied or related to an employee, special education placements, individual student situations, etc. If the topic is inappropriate for the public forum, Board President, myself, will instruct you not to speak, but to rather present your concerns in writing for the board's discussion in executive session. Also, according to the district's civility policy, number 3150, the district promotes mutual respect, civility, and orderly conduct among district employees, parents, and the public. The policy is not intended to deprive any person of his or her right to freedom of expression, rather than seek to maintain, to the extent possible and reasonable, a safe and harassment-free workplace for students and staff. In the interest of presenting teachers and other employees as positive role models, we encourage positive communication and discord and discourage volatile, hostile, or aggressive actions. This district seeks the public's cooperation in this endeavor. Also, according to the district's code of conduct on school public school property policy number 3410, there are provisions regarding conduct deemed appropriate and acceptable on school property and at school functions. Conduct deemed unacceptable and inappropriate on school property. And provisions regarding acceptable civil and respectful treatment of teachers, school administrators, other school personnel, students, and visitors on school property and at school functions. Chair will recognize everyone for the 30 minutes. We have, do you have 5 minutes?
7 to 4 minutes.
4 minutes, okay, 7. Starting tonight with Kelly Brown.
I'd like to address some pressing concerns regarding the budget. The budget isn't just numbers. It is a reflection of our priorities. I'd like to highlight an example from the budget to illustrate ongoing issues. Pre-K transportation, consistently listed at $0 in the budget for years. This isn't a minor oversight. It's a symptom of a deeper issue. And while a couple $100,000 might seem like a drop in the bucket, it's not about the dollars, it's about the principle. The lack of attention to detail, inability to notice the discrepancy and rectify the omission year after year signals that proper review has not been happening. It raises serious concerns about the accuracy and integrity of the entire budget. How much of the current budget proposal was made and agreed upon with the same level of casualness? The discussions just last week about pre-K transportation suggest that this non-essential expense hasn't been previously considered. Why wasn't it addressed during the formulation of the current budget proposal? It's concerning that budget cuts target teachers, while other areas see spikes in spending that do not align with enrollment, such as in central and pupil services. Additionally, claims that OC services and materials and supplies were reduced last year are contradicted by the rising expenses seen in the budget. Statements that administration student ratios are in sync with Western New York doesn't negate the fact that our administration costs are $450 higher per student than our neighboring districts. Overall, there are discrepancies in your statements, indicating a need for a more balanced and thoughtful approach. And despite our concerns and feedback, we continue to hear that the proposed budget will not change. The rigid stance undermines trust and hinders meaningful community engagement. Your silence on pressing matters is deafening. It suggests a disregard for our input. We've also received minimal responses to our many questions. In your recent email communication, you responded to this question: what controls have been put into place to ensure past mistakes don't occur? The answer you provided was that you have increased public transparency by posting more reports online. This is a positive step. It does not address the question. We've heard nothing about process improvement or concrete strategies to enhance internal controls and oversight. Instead, blame shifting to a single past employee seems to be the main message. As stewards of our community and leaders of our district, we expect the board and the superintendent to uphold their responsibilities and engage with us openly. Your claims that past issues in the business office are not a reflection of overall leadership and governance of the district indicate your lack of understanding of the responsibilities outlined in New York State education law. The law not only specifies your responsibility for fiscal oversight and managing the district finances, but it also mandates the establishment and adherence to proper policy and procedures for the budgeting process as a whole. It's crucial that funds are allocated accurately and that decisions are informed. The current proposal falls short and does not indicate scrutiny. I again urge you to reconsider and align the budget with the needs of our students and the values of our community.
Other public or private options that offer free transportation in Western New York.
If we are keeping in line with other districts in a year of belt tightening, and that's what is driving our decision making, this seems like a viable option that we could consider. A viable option that we are unwilling to consider. Despite your attempts to assure us that the TLC will be staffed, elementary health will exist because it's mandated, and class sizes will be in line with other districts, you have yet to give us any details on how you will come through on these promises. These assurances can only be met through impact studies and classroom forecasting. These tools will be able to give us those answers. Instead, you want the public to trust you because of the many good things that you have inarguably done for our district. However, in both the private and public sector, when big mistakes, $4 million mistakes, are made, there are repercussions, from the loss of a job to being placed on an improvement plan, even if you have done good in other areas. What makes you feel that you're beyond the questions they're asking? The public just needs to blindly trust that you have a plan rather than you sharing what that plan is. We understand that teachers don't yet have their assignments for next year, but you should know how many teachers you need and what the class size will look like, even if you haven't officially assigned anyone to those areas yet. As a community, we are angry, disheartened, and disappointed at the decision to make this many cuts to student-facing positions and your unwillingness to take a deeper dive into saving as many positions as possible. We have many questions that remain unanswered. Despite this, I do encourage everyone to consider voting yes to the budget, because the Board of Education and Mr. Cornell have made their unwillingness to compromise evident. They would rather risk the contingency budget, which could be catastrophic to our staff and students, than to take a look at solutions. The budget needs to pass, and we need to make our voice for change heard by calling for fresh faces on the Board of Education on May 21st. We need to bring people to the table who are willing to dig deep, look for solutions, and listen to concerns. We need people who have children who are affected by these decisions being made.
I'm Susan Biker, 5340 Oak Ridge Drive, Hamburg, resident for 17 years, mom to students in the classes of 21, 24, and spouse of a district educator. Last week, my son shared his anxiety and frustration, and tonight I feel much the same. How can I focus on any specific concern? Layoffs, depleted reserves, and areas of our campus that are in disrepair, when we are overwhelmed by financial stress. Instead, I'd like to talk about the opportunity that our community has on May 21st to make meaningful and needed change in our district's oversight to restore hopefulness for our future. We've been told the proposed budget fits within the tax cap and fixes our finances by eliminating teachers while somehow preserving program, but still falls almost $600,000 short, which will maybe be covered by aid, optimistic unknown income, and whatever reserves we may have left. We've been told this is the only way and the only budget we will see. If it fails, it will be put up unrevised for a second vote in June. Should the second vote fail, we will go to a contingency or frozen budget, which will mean additional layoffs and possibly being placed under fiscal control by the state. The message is, vote for this budget. Otherwise, we will be punished in ways that make everything worse. This message does not represent the collaborative vision that I have for how a school board and its superintendent should be in relation to the community that they serve. I also don't believe that electing new board members will automatically recreate the chaos of prior boards. Being told as voters that we must maintain the status quo or risk a return to past dysfunction is a false binary. Disagreement is not the same as dysfunction. It is possible, even preferred, to have diversity of thought on a board. It is possible to disagree with civility and respect. And while it's nice to have experienced board members, all boards of any longevity must welcome new members for their very survival. Contrary to recent claims, the job is not too time-consuming for younger people. And understanding the responsibilities of what is and is not part of the job is not beyond a newcomer. 7 years ago, I was a newcomer to the Hamburg PTA. I knew at the start that my time on the board would be finite, and that it was critical to find my replacement by that point. Part of why I was nominated to serve is my experience chairing a parent committee for Scouts. We start our meetings with a retrospective on events since our last meeting, inviting anyone to share what went well, what did not go well, and how we can make things better. My biggest fear in asking isn't that I might have to endure harsh criticism. I dread the day that I will only hear that everything is great. It's easy to convince yourself that you're doing a wonderful job if you no longer engage with those who disagree with you. But good leadership means taking note of what perspectives have been lost. Because even as a well-intentioned leader, I can become so caught up in my vision for the group, so convinced that I alone can keep things afloat, especially when you're in firefighting mode, that in the end, I will have intimidated others into compliance, silence, or worst of all, absence, effectively alienating the people who can help me improve our program. I ask you to stay curious, even in the face of criticism, to stay in relation to the community that you serve, rather than isolate yourselves, and to see those of us who volunteer in the district and speak up at board meetings as those who are still engaged and still hopeful, the very people who can help the district find its way out, if you would hear our perspectives and allow challenges to the status quo that has put us in this dire situation. I believe our board must engage fully, humbly, and transparently with our community, and I intend to elect candidates who do so. Thank you.
Mary Odin.
Hi, it's Mary Odin. That's okay. People don't like saying on and on. My name is Mary Odin. I am running for school board. I noticed that, first I should say, I not only am I data-driven, I was a consultant for faculty and higher ed for a long time, helping them write student learning outcomes. So one of the things that I talked about a lot with them is, you know, if one student fails, that's usually on the student, but if all of your students are struggling or failing, that's usually on the teacher. One thing I'm noticing is that we have a lot of community members that are struggling and having a lot of questions about the budget and how it's communicated, which tells me that they're struggling with how y'all are communicating. And I also noticed that when I stood up here last week, I gave some suggestions for how we can maybe improve the communications and how you are communicating the budget and what creative solutions you are presenting here. And I don't think that that was well communicated on your part. So I'm a little disappointed on how well the information was being presented. And so I feel like that I have some feedback on how you can improve it. And I'm going to give you some feedback, the same way that I would give our faculty feedback, because I think that's what this board needs, and the superintendent needs some feedback on improving. I know that you are a big fan of the Coherence, the Right Drivers for Action for Schools, Districts, and Systems book. One of the quotes from that book is, the Coherence framework has four components: focusing, direction, cultivating, collaborative cultures, deepening learning, and securing accountability. So I think that would be a great book to go back to refocus and reframe our learning outcomes. I think the school board could really refocus its outcomes. So maybe we could start with something like, the school board will respond to community questions in a timely manner. It doesn't seem like the questions are being responded to in a timely manner. The same questions keep coming up and they are not being responded to. Or maybe something like, the school board will describe the budget in an accessible manner, because we aren't understanding what creative solutions you are providing to solve it other than we are going to cut the teachers. If you are struggling with this, because it is difficult and I know these are hard decisions, I would be more than happy to assist. I think this is something that I can help with. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I am here on behalf of myself, resident, parent, taxpayer, and not in my role as a PTSA leader. But I do want to say I appreciated four faces at our PTSA meeting last night. While they're not the same, our roles are very similar. We do it. We spend a lot of time doing it. We don't get anything in return, but the good feeling of doing good work for the people in our community. When the PTSA operates, we have our boards at the school and we bring people together. We bring our community, our parents, our students even at the elementary level. We bring in our teachers, our staff. We work together. We take criticism, we take feedback, and we decide how to move forward with everybody's input in mind. We can't function as a PTSA without that input. And quite frankly, you shouldn't function well without our input. We elect you there to serve our interests and the interests of our children. And when we bring our concerns and our questions to you, we should be able to expect a response. Just like I have to give a response to somebody reaching out to you with a question or a concern in my role, you should be doing the same. There's a lot of people who have given a lot of time speaking up on this, not because they want to be a thorn in your side, not because they want to be, you know, an angry mob, as some of them have been called, but they feel called to speak because this is so important to them. My oldest is in sixth grade, and in the time we have been in this district, I have probably volunteered thousands of hours. And I would say that a vast majority of those hours volunteering included teachers, like those teachers. Those are the people that I have to work with. Those are the people that when they need something, they come to us because it's not included in the budget, which is why you see these people from these schools trying to raise as much money as possible. And we get it, parents. We know fundraising isn't fun, but when somebody needs a wobble stool for a student who can't sit still, that's not in your budget, so we follow through. When we want our kids to have matching shirts for field trips or events, that's not in your budget, so we follow through. When our teachers want manipulatives for math, when our teachers need resources that aren't in your budget, we follow through because we listen to them. Because when they tell us what they need, we take them seriously. Those are our collaborators. They are your collaborators if you will use them as that resource. So if a teacher is saying to you that these cuts will do harm, we should listen to them. We should be mindful of that impact. And we should listen to the community members who've taken so much of their time without anything in return other than the hope that they're going to get what they want for their kids to look into these matters. We are not board members. You are correct. We are parents. We are parents who are so fiercely passionate about our children and about our neighbors and about our teachers, that we are willing to take time away from our children and our families and our communities to be here to express that to you. So my hope is that if you go forward with this budget, you do it with the realization that going forward, we are collaborators. They are collaborators. And when you're looking at numbers on a page, it may seem very black and white. They bring the color to this district, and how lucky are we to have them.
Our last speaker is Valerie Russo Daniel. Oh, I'm sorry, Robin, that's one of the stuff over here.
Good evening, Pleasant Maple Ave. My name is Natalie Russo Gang. I just want to say thank you actually to the board and Mr. Cornell tonight for allowing BlizzCon to be held next door. I had the honor and privilege of being there and tabling with Village Engage this evening, and I'm very much looking forward to going back after this to catch some of the events that are wrapping up. I did want to just share with you guys in the hour and a half or 2 hours I had spent there before popping over here, the main thing that we were hearing from the kids. So as they came up to our table, I was like, all right, your dream school, let's hear it, go, what you got for me? And it's connection, and it is electives, and it's clubs. And my biggest fear right now is that we're losing all of that. So having these one-off events like BlizzCon, as amazing as that is not in the day-to-day, right? So when we're cutting teachers, we're cutting staff, we're bringing the color out of our district, as Jess so eloquently stated, we're not listening, we're not collaborating. We're here for kids, and our kids are telling us what they want. And how rare is it that our kids, first of all, talk to us, especially at the high school level, but tell us what they need. And they're here, they're telling us what they need. They need clubs, they need teachers, they need electives that speak to them. And I just wanted to really shout out the teachers too. I met tons of teachers today from all over the southern tier of Western New York. They've been going since like 6 this morning, and they're going to not be home until about 10 o'clock tonight. So thank you for being that color. Again, it's just so eloquently stated. I just love that statement so much. And please just think about our kids. Think about what they need and what they're telling us, and let them see that we're listening. Thank you.
Business after that.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.